Welcome to the Health Lottery's Paying It Forward podcast, a brand new series with me, Danny Mingus. Join me as we dive into the incredible ripple effect of the joy of giving back. My guest on our first ever episode is Jay Aston. She won Eurovision in 1981 as part of Buck's Fizz. We chat all things the fizz, living with mouth cancer, and the joy of paying it forward. A very warm welcome to the podcast, Jay. Jay, welcome to the Paying It Forward podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
We are all about the big and little wins. Can you tell me about the first big win you had in life?
Well, that would probably be winning Eurovision as a teenager, 1981. We went to Dublin and we were very proud to represent the UK. And we first won the Song for Europe to choose the song for the UK. And we did start to feel there was a bit of a buzz because of the routining of it, because we had obviously the skirt ripping thing, which in those days was quite risque, but it made people think of us and remember us. And so there was this sort of buzz, and then we did several rehearsals, and I was thinking, oh, we won't win.
Really?
But Mike Nolan, who's in the band, he was still quite confident. So, yeah, I mean, we were very lucky. We got a few votes from every country and we won by literally a few points, and then our lives changed. And it was just a silly song that didn't mean an awful lot, but it just worked. And the next 3 years, we were in and out of different countries, in and out of hotels, TV shows, traveling. It was an amazing whirlwind. Got to see, you know, Rio, Chile, Australia, Japan, you know, amazing. And of course, all of Europe.
That is incredible. And so you were 19, is that correct?
I was 19, yeah.
Wow. At 19, for that to happen, and then suddenly you're going all over the world.
It was amazing. When I think back, what were the chances of that? But I guess my parents were actually in showbiz. My dad was a comic. My mum was a singer-dancer. My brother had been in the West End in the Chorus Line, Jesus Christ Superstar, Cats. And he actually represented the UK the year before. So I'd kind of watched what happened with him. I knew the process, I suppose. So when we were kids, we used to lark about and write songs, and we both decided we wanted to win Eurovision. Well, I think when I was about 9. So that was one tick. And the other one was do a Royal Command. I think we both ticked that one, and then have a number one record and be on Top of the Pops, which was the pop show of the time. That was the thing to be on, you know.
Yeah.
All of that was just amazing, and literally off of one song.
I was going to ask you, when something like that happens, how you keep your feet on the ground, but you've literally just answered that because it's in the family.
It was in the family. And I think I've always had that thing, seeing my mum and dad do it as a job, you mm-hmm. know, and all their family are sort of in some form of entertainment or hospitality. So, yeah, it was just a job, and it took out the pressure of it, I suppose, because I just went, right, 3 minutes, this I might be back doing, you know, at my normal job next week, and yeah. You just go in, and at the end of the day, you have to enjoy it. You have to try and live the moment, because it's so rare to be, you know, performing in front of millions of people, and there's literally got 3 minutes where they might be looking at you, you know, and they might be listening to
you.
So it was just sort of a treasured moment but you do have to be professional about it. I mean, my mum had a little touring show, so even when I was 15, I was gigging and going to school. I went to theatre school, so I was sort of gigging, and I'd done summer seasons and panto even before that. So I was always very confident on stage, probably not so much in studios, in recording studios. But Cheryl, the other girl in the band, Cheryl Baker, was very good at that. We both learned off one another.
Nice. That's really nice. Have you still got a good relationship now?
Oh, yes. We're still gigging.
Still gigging.
We're actually going out to two because, well, not permanently. Mike, another original member, just actually announced he was leaving like 2 days ago.
Okay.
So we're now going to be auditioning for two replacements to put the band, keep the band going.
All right. So if anyone's listening and they want to audition,
yes,
where do they need to go?
Well, it'll be on the fizzofficial.com, and it'll be on all our social media.
Love that.
We will be holding auditions. I think it's the Pineapple Dance Centre in Covent Garden.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what? When I first moved to London and I was doing modelling, I used to go to auditions there.
I used to go to auditions there. I used to go to dance classes. My teacher she was a judge in Strictly. She did Hot Gossip, Arlene Phillips. Yeah.
That's the one.
That's it.
Can you tell me what your favourite Bucks Fizz song to sing was?
Actually, there's two. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It would be Land of Make-Believe, because it was the song that sort of took us out of being a one-hit wonder and solely a Eurovision band. And that went to number one here for 3 weeks. And when we do that song now, Nowadays, you could, we literally just put the mic out to the audience and they seem to know every word. I think it was a thing of the time if you're a certain age. So the land of make-believe, which was great fun. And of course, making your mind up has to be there because it changed our lives, you know. And there's just something about it. Sometimes we do a festival and loads of people have come to see different acts on, you know, a bill of maybe 30 acts. But when we do making a mind up, even if they weren't a fan or aren't a fan, they all get up and they all go nuts. So it's just something about that crazy song that is quite magical.
Love that. I love all the positivity there. So in more recent times, you had to deal with mouth cancer.
Yeah.
That must have been a really, really tough thing, especially, you know, considering that you're a singer.
Yeah. It was tough. What happened was I went just for a regular dental checkup.
Yeah.
And I had this little tiny white sort of cobweb looking thing in my mouth, which popped up when I lost my parents. So I think it was the stress of my parents. My dad had battled with Alzheimer's for about 12, 14 years. And it had put a lot of stress on us and my mum. And my mum died of cancer and my dad had Alzheimer's. So there were a lot of health issues at the time. And, you know, people say it's quite often these things change when you go through massive grief.
Yes.
And at the time I was moving house, I had a young child, all of those things conspire. I wasn't that young when I had my daughter. I was just 42. And I don't know, it all just sort of, I guess it built up. But you don't really realise it at the time because you just keep going, don't you?
Yes.
The whole thing, you've got a baby, you're moving, you think it's all positive, you know your parents are going to die one day. But somewhere in your body goes, oh, this is rubbish. It's sort of like your body keeps count.
Yeah.
And so that happened. And so at least they were looking at it for a while, keeping a check on it. So I'd go to the hospital maybe once every year just to see if it was all right. And I had one biopsy and it was fine. And then suddenly I was doing a lot of work with the band. We were touring for about 3 years. We were doing sort of 30-odd gigs just on a tour, plus on normal gigs, so maybe 50 concerts, lots of travelling. And I think that just, and probably a bit going through the menopause, to be honest, it all just didn't help. And the thing on my tongue just sort of changed all of a sudden. And I could see it was happening for about nearly a year. But then I had a biopsy and it came back as pre-cancer. And I had another bigger biopsy where they take a slice of your tongue front to back, which was incredibly painful. Mm. Well, long story short, within 3 weeks it had turned to cancer. So it was moving then at that point very quickly.
Wow.
So then I had to have a more major surgery, which was 7-hour op. And they took a piece of my thigh off. And your tongue obviously starts right down by your collarbone.
Yes.
And so they went into my neck. And so the whole sort of left bottom side of my tongue, apart from the very top of my tongue, is leg.
Wow.
It doesn't really have. It did run a marathon, but it doesn't have the same proposition, obviously. You know, it's not quite the same in terms of. So to begin with, I found it quite hard to talk and obviously hard to sing. I've had to learn to sing differently.
Wow, that's amazing. But it's amazing that you have and that you've done it and you're still gigging.
Performing, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super inspirational in itself.
Yeah. Well, good old NHS. It was NHS who helped me and my dental check, you know, it was all kind of part and parcel.
Was there anyone that paid it forward to you during that time?
Well, I mean, my family, obviously. I kind of had a really good feeling that the doctors were particularly on it in terms of, I'll give you an idea. A few months after I'd had the op, and you know, you have an operation like that and you think that must be quite rare. Mm-hmm. And I went, how many of these have you done since you did mine? He went, 65 a week.
No, that's wild.
And it's like, so to them, it's nothing. You know, I mean, it's sort of like there might have been slight differences in the version of where you had your cancer and how they deal with it. But one thing they said to me was that mouth cancer has risen like 120, 130% in the last decade. So I think we need to all think about why is that happening. It may be that diagnosis is better, but that is quite startling.
That is massive. That's yeah.
So in terms of getting through it, my daughter was just going through her GCSE exams. In fact, she had mocks when I had the surgery. And I remember we sent her to school one day and she was just in tears, floods of tears. That was tough. for her. But yeah, it was a few things. Also, we were in the middle of recording a new album with Mike Stock from Stock Aitken and Waterman. Some people might remember them. You know, they did Kylie and Rick Astley and all of that. And we did a couple of albums. We were doing a Christmas album. And literally, as I was in there putting my vocals down, it was when I was getting the call from the doctors to say, you know, you need to come in, we need to book in a surgery ASAP. Wow. And there was one song called Here to Eternity, which is an ironic lyric, but I tried to sing that then, and I found that really difficult to get through it because I'd literally just been, I just realised I did have cancer. I sung the song badly, but when I was in the hospital trying to recover, I remember the World Cup was going on, which was quite interesting, but I had like a little demo of just the keyboards, the parts of the song, and I just play it over and over with AirPods. And I just sort of went, I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish that song, which I did 6 months later. Wow. So that was quite inspiring. You know, it's like, I'm going to finish that. I'm going to go back and it's going to be really good. And then we shot a video and we all cried when we filmed it.
Yeah, I'm nearly crying listening
like,
to it.
Film, you know, just got to the finish line.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. I, do you know what? I love doing this and hearing stories like this because it will touch so many people and inspire them. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I think it's really hard at the moment, especially since COVID, is that it's actually really hard to get an appointment at the dentist or the doctor. And you might sit on the phone for 20 minutes and then they say, oh, the appointments have all gone. But you've got to be relentless and you've got to think ahead. If you've got something changing in your body, whether it's something in your mouth or something anywhere else, even if it's a mole that doesn't look right or it doesn't feel the same, you've got to go and get checked out. You know, the NHS is there for you. We all pay our taxes for that facility. And they are amazing. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of stories, but literally they've saved my life, they've saved my husband's life, and they've saved my daughter's life. So it's an amazing facility, even though it may take 20 minutes to get an appointment.
Jay Aston, it's been an absolute delight having you on the podcast. You're a very inspirational woman, and I've loved speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Paying It Forward podcast from the Health Lottery, the £1 lottery doing its bit for Britain's health. I'm Danny Mingus. Join me next time for more stories of big and little wins. Check out more at healthlottery.co.uk.